Today, could the bumps in the road turn to potholes and rate rises ahead? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. And as normal, this is our weekly market update on a Saturday. So we start in the US, go across to Europe, then Asia and Australia, and also cover gold, oil and crypto. Last Wednesday, Fed Chair Jerome Powell retained a cautious stance towards future rate cuts in a speech to the Stanford Graduate School of Business. Recent readings on both job gains and inflation have come in higher than expected, he said, suggesting that the US Central Bank will continue to study more data before starting a rate-cutting cycle. Atlantic Fed President Raphael Bostic, a known hawk, said that rates should likely not be reduced until the fourth quarter of this year, with only one cut likely in 2024. We've seen inflation kind of become more and more bumpy, Bostic said. If the economy evolves, I expect, and that's going to be seeing continued robustness in GDP and employment and a slow decline in inflation over the course of the year, I think it will be appropriate for us to start moving down at the end of this year, the fourth quarter. But then on Thursday, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari said that rate cuts might not be required this year at all. Then we got data on Friday showing US payrolls rose in March by the most in nearly a year, and the unemployment rate dropped, pointing to a strong labor market that's powering the US economy. Non-farm payrolls advanced 303,000 last month, following a combined 22,000 upward revision to job gains in the prior 2 months. The unemployment rate fell to 3.8%, with more people joining the workforce and able to find a job as participation rose. The March payroll report showed us that payroll strength is here to stay, RBC Capital Markets' Michael Reed said in the note. After an already strong February, the gains accelerated again this month, and they continue to broaden. With payrolls, hours, and wages all accelerating, it's a clear sign to us that businesses have renewed confidence to meaningfully continue this expansion cycle. The truth is, recent strong economic numbers have resulted in whittling away US rate cut expectations. Markets no longer fully expect a move in June or 75 basis points of easing in total this year. Anthony Saglimblini, chief market strategist and Mayor Price, said, investors are reassessing whether the Fed rate cuts three times in 2024. It might be two. It's too early to tell, he says. If the economy is running the way it's running now through most of this year, then it might be likely that the Fed does not cut interest rates this year. So some are now seriously even asking whether rates are high enough to quash inflation. A rate hike would, of course, really change the market dynamics. That said, Alice in Wonderland, like many analysts, still seem to be wired into rate cuts and soon. In a note, Morgan Stanley's Ellen Zettner said the jobs data points to a non-inflationary expansion of the labour market and does not alter the Fed's course to a June cut. Zettner also said the Fed will turn its focus to inflation. Jobs are strong, but barely outpacing break-even with wage growth slowing. We think the Fed will be focused on March and April inflation data, where we expect core PCE will average 0.22% from March to May, and that those lower prints will be enough evidence to point to sustained disinflation towards target. The core CPI print for March next week is forecast at 0.25% monthly, translating to a 0.22% core PCE inflation. In our view, this data will meet the bar for the Fed to cut in June. Bank of America agreed. While exceptionally strong, the employment report is consistent with the Fed starting to ease this year in June. BOA added, while it may be difficult to accept that an economy that adds 303,000 jobs is consistent with rate cuts, the Fed has embraced the supply side narrative. Specifically, the Fed seems to have come around to the view that a rebound in the labor force allows for higher short-run potential growth and faster actual growth whilst generating disinflationary pressures. In this case, the latter came through softer wages growth, with the year-on-year change in average hourly earnings falling 0.2% to 4.1%. We retain our outlook for monetary policy with 3 25 rate cuts this year in June, September, and December. And Oxford Economics' Ryan Sweet said, the Fed has a bias towards cutting interest rates this year, but the strength of the labour market and recent gains in inflation are giving the central bank room to be patient. It expects the first cut in June. Are subjective odds that the first rate cut will occur in either July or September are rising, but are not high enough to have this as the most likely outcome. And Sweet also said, our assessment is that most of the Fed members want to wait a little longer and are less concerned than past tightening in monetary policy will cut into the economy. So next week's consumer price index, which is expected to show core inflation slowing to about 3.7% in March from 3.8% the prior month, is likely to shape near-term Fed policy. But keep an eye on services, excluding housing. Anyway, stocks on Wall Street rallied on all of this, and the dollar rose on Friday, and bond prices fell after those blowout US jobs reports. The S&P 500 closed at 5,204, up 1.11%, while the Dow was up 0.8% to 38,904, and the NASDAQ rose 1.24% to 16,248. MSCI's gauge of global stock performance closed up 0.4%, weighed down by losses in Europe, where the pan-regional stock 600 index fell 0.84%. Meta Platforms raced higher, up 3.21% to 524.34, while Apple, another of the Magnificent Seven, managed a 0.45% lift, having announced that it was laying off more than 600 workers in California. That's the first major job losses since the pandemic. The news comes just a few weeks after Apple cancelled a long-running project to build an electric self-driving car in a team called the Special Projects Group. The tech giant has had a difficult 2024, with its share price down almost 12% year to date. And of course, the US Department of Justice last month announced plans to sue the iPhone maker for monopolizing the smartphone market, warning that a breakup order is not excluded as a remedy to restore competition. And additionally, Apple's iPhone sales in China fell 24% year on year in the first 6 months of 2024, according to data from research firm Counterpoint. On the other hand, Amazon rose 2.82% to 25.07, but Tesla fell 3.63% after Reuters reported that the company had abandoned a plan to build a cheaper electric vehicle. But Elon Musk denied the report. Reuters is lying, Musk wrote on X, while offering specifics. The US stock market is the most expensive it's been in around 2 years. Its valuation will be put to the test as companies start reporting in coming weeks. The S&P 500 is up more than 9% year-to-date, following its strongest first-quarter performance since 2019. But the bar may be rising for stocks to keep advancing at that pace, increasing pressure on companies to deliver strong results. The benchmark index trades at about 20.7 times its estimated earnings for the next 12 months. That's near a more than two-year high of 21.2 hit in late March, according to DataStream. Unremarkable earnings growth could give investors less reason to hold onto stocks at a time when elevated yields on treasuries bolsters the attractiveness of bonds. If we're going to continue to make significant gains on the stock market, we have not just to meet, but probably exceed what those earnings estimates have been, said the chief investment officer at BMO Wealth Management. Delta Airlines, BlackRock, and JP Morgan, amongst others, are companies scheduled to release their first quarter results next week. Analysts expect to see earnings growth around 5% in the first quarter, according to LSEG data. That would be the lowest since the second quarter of 2023, and they expect margins to be squeezed by high interest rates, rising commodity costs, and falling corporate pricing power due to slowing inflation. By the way, earnings grew by 10.1% in the fourth quarter of 2023. The yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note rose to 4.06%, while the two-year was sharply higher at 4.751%. Bond yields move, of course, inversely to their price. The dollar index, a measure of the US currency against six major peers, edged up 0.16%, while the VIX also rose to 16.03. Gold prices hit record highs as spot gold hit a record high of $2,330.06 an ounce, and the US gold futures settled 1.76% higher at $2,349.25, with a gain of 12% since the start of the year. An upgraded gold price forecast for 2024 from Nikki Shields, head of metal strategies at Swiss gold refinery MKS PAMP, drew an unexpected follow-up question this week from market participants. The inquiry was, will or can gold go cocoa? Cocoa prices have more than doubled since the start of 2024 due to poor harvest in the Ivory Coast and Ghana. Meanwhile, spot gold, a much more global and liquid market, hit record highs on five previous trading sessions as investors jumped in looking for exposure to the metal used to preserve wealth. We have previously proposed a $2,400 per ounce price estimate if the Fed cuts rates in the first quarter of 2024. We commit to that estimate for this year, even if rate cuts come later, said Bank of America. Oil prices rose for a second weekly gain, supported by geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, concerns over tightening supply, and expectations about demand growth. Crude oil settled at its highest level since October. US crude futures rose 0.16% to $86.73 a barrel, while Brent settled up 0.23% to $90.93 a barrel. A broader outbreak of war in the Middle East potentially heralds more supply disruption for oil and could further tighten markets in the coming months. Expectations of tight markets were furthered by the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allies maintaining its current pace of production cuts. On the demand front, improved economic readings from top importer China saw traders turn more optimistic over stronger oil imports in the country this year. Ongoing Ukrainian attacks on Russian refineries also added to bets on tighter crude supplies, although rising non-OPEC output, including ongoing record output in the US, continue to muddy the demand and supply outlook. Over in Europe, southern European economies that were long sneered at by their richer northern neighbours have turned the tables as they cement their role as growth drivers in the sputtering euro area. Business surveys by S&P Global released this week showed that Spain and Italy beat expectations with faster expansion in March, and manufacturing gauge for Greece indicates a similar trend. This helped the index for the currency block emerge from contraction for the first time in 10 months. Spain and Italy provided the greatest boost, with their growth rates accelerating to the strongest for nearly a year, Hamburg Commercial Bank said. This helped offset sustained contractions in output in Germany and France that began in the middle of 2023. A tourism surge since the pandemic, booming exports, and lower energy prices thanks to renewables and limited reliance on Russian gas has given so-called periphery countries on the Mediterranean the edge in the euro area. Just over a decade ago, those same countries, looked down on as spendthrift and less productive, were at the core of a debt crisis that called into question the currency's very survival. This year, Spain, Portugal, and Greece are expected to be among the top-performing economies in the 20-nation bloc, according to the European Commission. By contrast, the French government has just lowered its 2024 growth forecast and reported the budget deficit far exceeding its estimates for 2023, prompting it to seek tens of billions of euros of spending cuts. And Germany is likely at the tail end of a shallow recession, weighed down by hesitant consumers, weak external demand, and high borrowing costs. The DAX in Germany fell 1.3% to 18,163. The CAC 40 in France was down 1.11%, and the UK FTSE was down 0.81%, as the latest house price report suggested prices were sliding again in the UK. In Asia, most Asian stocks fell on Friday, tracking overnight declines on Wall Street as hawkish signals from Federal Reserve officials, especially ahead of that key payroll data, spurred more uncertainty over US interest rate cuts. MSCI's broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares outside Japan fell 0.45%, and a holiday in China also made for thinner trade. Tokyo's Nikkei 225 fell 0.23%, pressurized in part by a stronger yen, thanks to the prospect of further rate hikes and more jawboning from Japanese officials. It was by far the worst performer in Asia on Friday, with an over two-week low. The Nikkei was hit with extended profit taking after surging to record highs in March, and the index also struggled to make headway in April with increased uncertainty over the path of inflation and monetary policy in the country. Sticky inflation could elicit more interest rate hikes by the Bank of Japan. Chip sector shares were among the biggest drags on Friday, with Tokyo Electron dropping 5.6% to shave 217 points from the Nikkei, and Advantest eased another 81 points with a 4.85% decline. Other notable losers included startup investor SoftBank Group, which slid 2.77%, and the chain operator Fast Retailing, which skidded 2.26%. Broader Japanese stocks also fell, with the TOPIX losing 1.7%, and the Nikkei dropped more than 3% on the week. That was the second straight weekly loss for the benchmark index, as it pulled back from an all-time high of 41,087 reached on March the 22nd. Export-orientated stocks were the biggest decliners on the Nikkei, as the yen rebounded from recent losses to a two-week high. Continued threats of currency market interventions from Japanese government were a key driver of the yen's recovery. The yen was last at 151.62 to the US dollar. Other Asian stocks trended lower, with technology stocks tracking overnight declines in their US peers. South Korea's KOSPI fell more than 1%, with Samsung Electronics, the biggest stock on the index, falling 1.5%, even as it forecast a stellar bounce in its first quarter profit. Hong Kong's Hang Seng shed 1.1%, with an element of catch-up trade also in play after a holiday on Thursday. India's central bank stuck to its hawkish policy note on Friday as warnings of a coming heat wave renewed fears of inflation spike. The Monetary Policy Committee voted 5-1 to keep the benchmark repurchase rate at 6.5% for a seventh straight meeting, a move predicted by most economists. The six-member panel also decided to retain its policy stance of withdrawal of accommodation. The India Nifty 50 was pushing on all-time highs at 22,525, and gains were spurred chiefly by buying into index heavyweight bank and industrial stocks, and some positioning ahead of the 2024 general elections. Sentiment was also aided by a recovery in small cap stocks. Over in Australia, Australia's ASX 200 fell, weighed by losses in major banks and mining stocks. Data on Friday showed a bigger than expected decline in Australia's trade balance in February, marked by a sustained drop in iron ore exports to China. The S&P ASX 200 lost 0.6% to 7,773. The interest rate-sensitive technology sector shed 1.4% and the materials sector 0.8%. In fact, every sector closed low on Friday, and energy was the best performer with a fall of just 0.02%. Higher crude oil futures supported Santos, up 0.6% to $7.93, and Woodside was 0.2% higher at $30.60. Oil prices look set for further upside in the short term as a more positive economic backdrop is joined by ongoing supply tightness and rising geopolitical risks, said ANZ Bank. The prospect of rate cuts amid a mid-cycle slowdown has fueled optimism over the global economy. More importantly, an improvement in economic data in China has boosted sentiment and lifted expectations around crude oil demand. Iron ore prices still dropped 1.5% to $98 US a ton, weighing on miners. BHP lost 0.9% to $44.35 and Rio Tinto 1% to $120.55. Copper advanced to its highest in 40 months and gold inched lower on Friday after reaching a record earlier in the week. Asset manager GQG Partners said its funds under management climbed to $143.4 billion. US dollars as at March the 31st, and investors bid its shares up 4.1% to $2.29. The stock continues to trade at 11 times earnings on a 9% dividend yield, said Damon Callaghan, a partner at ECP Asset Management. But rival stock picker Magellan posted net outflows of $700 million for March. The stock lost 3.7% to $9.49 a share. And banks, which appear overvalued to me, were down a little, with CBA off 0.26%, NAB down 0.17%, ANZ down 0.07%, and Westpac down 0.04%, and Macquarie was also down 0.9%. Cryptocurrencies captured strong gains in March, and trading volumes almost doubled to an all-time high as the leading coins soared to uncharted territories, prompting a change in the market dynamic, according to JP Morgan, who said in their research report that crypto market capitalization jumped 90%. indicating continued growth, albeit at a slower pace compared to the previous month. Altcoins outperformed traditional assets like Bitcoin and Ethereum in terms of market cap growth, yet double-digit growth was seen across the broader ecosystem. The DeFi sector was also in expansion, fueled by an increase in total value locked, the TVL, across Ethereum Layer 2 solutions following the mid-month DenCon upgrade. Trading volumes in March nearly doubled month over month, aligning the first quarter of 2024 with the last quarter of 2023's performance. The total crypto market capitalization remains above $2 trillion through March and even eclipsed the $2.6 trillion mid-March before settling towards month end of around $2.5 trillion as the ecosystem rallied up 19% in March, the report added. Regulatory landscapes in the US remained a focus in March with several key updates. Despite the ongoing lack of clear regulatory guidance, the month featured key regulatory actions and court decisions related to the crypto industry, including actions against Coinbase and other major players. The SEC continued its regulation by enforcement approach, engaging with new industry participants and affecting the market dynamics, according to JP Morgan. The DenCon upgrade was successfully implemented on March the 13th to expand the Ethereum's ecosystem capacity and reduce transaction fees. The upgrade has already led to a notable decrease in median transaction fees across various Layer 2 solutions, with TVL across the ecosystem growing. For example, TVL on Base, Coinbase's Layer 2 chain, climbed from $690 million just before the upgrade to over $1.2 billion by early April. Meanwhile, net flows to spot Bitcoin ETFs remained net positive in March, but slowed to $4.6 billion from February's $6.1 billion, despite Bitcoin reaching a new all-time high of over $73,000 US mid-month. This surge in Bitcoin's price initially led to increased ETF inflows, but the trend appears to have abated as Bitcoin's price began to trade sideways after reaching that peak. Bitcoin's mining profitability improved by an estimated 33% in March, according to JP Morgan, and this was driven by a 37% month-over-month increase in the average Bitcoin price, which outpaced the growth in network hash rates. However, profitability is expected to decline in April due to the upcoming halving, which will reduce the block reward from 6.25 to 3.125 Bitcoins. The price of Bitcoin is now walking in the footsteps of gold, and it has been this way since April 2022, said analysts at the McLellan Market Report. And they said, I should emphasize here that the magnitude of the price movements in each market do not match. It's all about the direction of movement and the timing of the turns, they said. Recent analysis suggests that gold prices have been a precursor to Bitcoin's price movements by approximately 1 week. Essentially, the dance steps gold performance today appears to be mirrored by Bitcoin a week later, they observed. During March 2024, a period of lateral movement in Bitcoin's prices, they closely followed a similar phase in gold prices from the previous week. Gold prices eventually exited this flag structure, embarking on an upward trend, a pattern Bitcoin has just begun to emulate, signaling an upcoming surge in Bitcoin prices within the next week. Well, maybe. It looks like this move should be to a new high based on gold structure. But remember that while the dance steps largely match, the magnitudes do not necessarily get echoed perfectly, they explained. And having said that, there are movements when the pattern of dance steps do not quite replicate perfectly either. And long-time traders will immediately know that prices are more likely to deviate from the plan at the moment one is counting on them to most follow the plan. Analysts at McLennan Report admit, actually, they don't know what makes this newfound correlation between gold and Bitcoin prices work, nor why it didn't work prior to April 2022. I cannot come up with any good explanation for why that moment should mark the start of their new correlated relationship. But it did, they said. Well, I guess if you look hard enough, you can find correlations almost everywhere. Anyway, Bitcoin was last at 67,888 US, while Ethereum was at 3,334 US. So if you stand back, again, more confusion, more uncertainty. But for me, it does look as though the Fed may well push out rate cuts, and the chance of a rate hike possibly needs to be brought back on the table. So I think we'll be watching very closely for what happens to the latest inflation data next week and those first reports from corporates in the US. It could well be that this spring marks a significant turn in the markets, or it may continue to muddle through, with the hopium continuing that the Fed will still cut. But I have to say, those cuts now look less certain, and the potholes look a lot bigger, because inflation could well be higher for longer, which means rates will be higher for longer too. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.